This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
We're hanging out with you for another edition of Kelly and Ramya. Appreciate you being out there wherever you're listening in on AMI Audio, for example, around the world. Tune in radio, maybe the Radio Player Canada app. Always love having you on board, so settle on back. Got a great show ahead for you. Maybe you're checking us out on AMI TV live at 2 p.m. Eastern when we appear on your TV set across Canada. Grant Hardy with me today on the program, and I'm Kelly McDonald.
All right, let's dive right in. First up, it's time to talk all things tech and audio entertainment with Michael Fair.
Audio entertainment and accessible technology are increasingly important in our lives. I'm Mike Fair, here to help you make the most out of your devices. We'll share tech tips and product reviews. Plus, I'll steer you towards the best accessible games, audio dramas, and podcasts. We'll talk about it all here on Kelly and Ramya.
All right, this is going to be a cool one. Take a bunch of elementary students feeling stressed about climate change. Take a teacher who wanted to help them deal with their anxiety, and in honor of Earth Day, which was just this past Monday, Mike Fair is going to tell us about the Climate Action Figures podcast. Really cool. Hey, Michael, welcome to the program, first of all.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was a really good find, this podcast.
Yeah, how did you find out about the podcast?
Well, I was listening to What on Earth. It's a CBC show all about the environment on the radio, and Laura Lynch is the host of that. I've covered it before on Kelly and Ramya. And basically, they mentioned, they interviewed the teacher and some of the youth involved in this podcast. And this was back when it was still sort of gelling, before all the details were sort of finalized. And so John Whitten is the host, and I reached out and contacted him and just asked him to let me know when it actually got started. So I kept track of that, thinking what an excellent find for this year's Earth Day.
Man, is that ever. Well, you think about teachers are in that position of hearing what kids are kind of thinking, what the buzz is and what's troubling them, and especially as they get vocal and especially when they get wanting to say, What are you guys doing? What kind of world are you leaving to me? What's the basic premise of Climate Action Figures?
So at the core of everything is that small actions matter. These kids are getting plenty of the big picture gloom and doom, lack of leadership, all that kind of stuff, pollution unchecked. You know, all the messages, they're going through some of the smoke and fires. And this podcast basically says, look, you can make a difference. You don't have to live in this world of just angst with no outlet. You can step up, and individual actions, even small ones, can make a difference. So these are basically elementary through secondary school students, and they basically talk about actions they take in their own lives and initiatives that they're involved in. And basically, it's kind of, it relieves their anxiety to be doing something and makes them feel more invested than anxious. So they're building a better future, you know, by taking these actions.
I would imagine it is hard to be a kid today, because you literally have had talk about climate change from the moment you can remember. And it's just this thing that none of us seem to really have as much control over it as we would like. So I love the idea of this podcast where they're saying, okay, like, maybe you don't have complete control, but there are some things you can do.
I do want to ask you both something. I just want to jump in here with this. When Michael, you were a kid, what was the climate thing that was the concern? Off the top of my head, whales and the ozone layer hole.
Yeah, the ozone layer hole, whales definitely there. I also got a bit of the global warming thing,
but it was
just a distant thing, distant thought.
Yeah. I mean, other than poking fun at the industrial age, which created a lot of pollution, but we stopped doing that, was kind of the way we were made to feel at our time. We're better now than then, but acid rain, that was the other item I'll throw on the list. And but it seems to me to have been there, and I think that makes it worse, because it has been talked about, has been a buzz really for decades. Anyways, go ahead, Grant. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I think for mine, it would be I'm a 90s baby, so I think we were kind of starting to hear about global warming and how it maybe could be a big deal, but it was also perfectly socially acceptable for some people to just be like, oh, I don't care about you, you know, you climate hippies,
yep,
you know, whatever. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. And now I think pretty much everybody is starting to realize that it's very dire. Sure. Yeah, exactly. So just getting back to the podcast, what would you say the overall tone is that they're going for?
Basically kind of realistic enthusiasm. They know it's, you know, we're up against it, but they're really trying to go for hopefulness, but not sugarcoating anything. And so that's kind of where we're at. But it really is a positive slanted podcast, always ending on a note of what makes you hope despite everything, right? So they're really pushing that.
How are episodes structured, Mike?
Well, they're basically very in length. It's a bit variable altogether. They have basically from like 15 to 20 minute episodes for the most part. And they have a few common features, the quick fixes, which are like suggested by the audience listeners. And they're things that we could do to quickly make a difference, quickly do make changes that will help. They're easy to do, or you know, society on a societal level could make a big impact, or small actions, which are things that you're doing in your life to try and help with environmental protection, to participate in that and do things. So those are the things. There's Ask an Engineer, where they have an actual engineer that's going to answer questions that people submit. So if you're wondering something like how much fuel you save if you bike every day for a year rather than drive to work and back, an engineer has tackled that for one listener already. So yeah, that's kind of neat. They have these kind of things in the episodes that really give it some structure. And then the main thing is a conversation between the guest and the host, John Witten. And at the end, it always ends with them being asked, what gives you hope despite everything going wrong? Like, what is giving you hope in the world? So that's basically the structure in a nutshell.
Just curious, sorry to put you on the spot. Can you think of any, what kinds of things give them hope, do you think? Can you think of an example of, I don't know.
Well, some of the organizations that they're involved in, they see all the people in the that are trying, really conscientiously trying to make a difference, putting time and effort into it. Things like that really help.
Yeah. What's an example of a quick fix?
One of the ones is reusable shopping bags. In the UK, they've put a fine on. You have to pay 25 pence for a new bag. And that really is pushing people in a gentle way to start using reusable bags and remembering to bring them so they don't have to pay the fines, right? Or the prices for the new bag, right? So that is one nudge that is making a difference to plastic pollution. And that's a big thing as well. So, things like that are quick fixes.
We were talking on the show the other day about kind of small things we each can do. What would qualify as a small action?
Well, this was one that kind of, when I heard about this one, turning off the water when you're lathering yourself up in the shower. So you wet yourself, you turn off the water, you put on all the shampoo and stuff and freeze until you can turn it on again to rinse off. So that was one lady's small action. Very, very brave. Wow. I don't know that I'd do that. I like
what a lot of safe water, though.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yep, save a bit of water. So
and the electric for heating it.
Yeah, yeah, and the energy to transport it. Yeah, so a lot of kind of savings there.
Yeah. My first thought was kind of like, I don't even think I'd mind shutting off the water. It's just hard to get the turn it back on and get the temperature correct
temperature
while you're standing
back,
under there.
then the initial shock too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Could go either way depending on where you set that temperature. So that's very brave. They're a true climate change hero, I think. Are lots of people sending in questions and ideas into the show?
Yeah, well, they want more. They're basically saying, look, send us your quick questions, your quick fixes, your engineers' questions, small climate action ideas. They'll take all of that. If you have guests that you think should be featured, if you know some young people involved in environmental things, submit that as well. They appreciate it all. And it's climateactionfigures@gmail.com is the email address.
Okay. Yeah, but ask that question about all those open doors, patios, and windows going open and closed, or big windows in downtown Toronto or any big city at those bars, and yet they're telling us, okay, curb your use of your air conditioner, right? Cut it back a little bit while they're pumping nice cold air into the environment. Have there been any guests whose stories resonated with you?
Yes, one of them is Marley in episode 4. She is a very small environmental club in Calgary, and she basically has in the high school there, and she's going on a trip overseas to participate in a global environmental initiative. And I think we have a clip of that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and listen to that clip.
I mean, one of the other big things is like the fast fashion industry and kind of like stop it at its source. So if we're like lowering our consumerism in terms of fast throwaway clothing and maybe going to like secondhand or trying to like reuse. I know as a little kid, like if I got holes in my leggings, we just cut off the bottoms and then they were shorts. And right. So extending the lifespan of clothing like that can also help limit the negative impact that's happening.
Right. Someone just said to me the other day, we can't just do what we've always done and we can't do what's comfortable. We have to sometimes make some difficult choices. And I think sometimes those choices, like going to the thrift store, can turn into great things that you actually enjoy. You're not doing it under duress. You're actually enjoying shopping at the thrift store, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Some great stuff. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. We really have to make that stuff more cool, don't we? Like instead of... it's cool to be wearing the latest clothes, whatever. We got to make it cool to be going to the thrift store instead.
Yeah, you know, it's really a neat kind of thing. And we have episode 11 is another one. Arian, he is 13 years old, building a robot to basically sense plastic using ultraviolet light, which it will react to differently. And using that to decide what to filter to make sure it gets the plastic and not other stuff like rocks and other things that you should still be in the lake. So that was pretty cool. He's 13 and he's doing this, building this robot.
Wow, that's amazing. Let's take a listen to episode 11 a little bit.
Of course, began thinking of like, I have to create a bot and have motors attached to it on like either side, essentially. And have some type of filter on it. And I also wanted to have an actual sensing device. And the reason for this was because in ponds and lakes, there isn't just plastics. There is still very important organic matter. So what I did was I looked into like actual like chemical properties of plastics and how they react to certain things. And it led me to, it's hard to fully explain this, but essentially I learned something about how UV light is affected by these plastics. So when it is shined on these plastics, most plastics absorb them and release like a longer wavelength of light, which is known as fluorescence. And I detected this using something called a photodetector, which detects light intensity.
Wow. So your machine will actually look, beam some of the UV light and then see what comes back.
Yes. Yeah. And see if these values like relate. And of course, I had to test this, like see if any got any false positives. I tested like all six different types of plastic.
Okay. So once your machine decides this is plastic, then what does it do?
That's where my filter comes in. And my filter is essentially like attached to the side of my bot. And of course, right, the filter can't just be open because then that just takes my whole point of the project away. If I just have an open filter, of course, anything can go through. So it's essentially a closed filter until it realizes something in plastic. Then with something called a servo, it opens the filter. A servo basically just like can like, it's something like moves like this or that. And it opens like a piece of, it opens like the front of the filter. So then it goes through the plastic.
Mike, we're a little tight on time, but where are these people living?
They're all in Alberta is where the Cora group is. And then they have most of their guests are actually from there. out west, and every I think they're going for a broader scope. They had one school in Quebec that's known for their environmental activism. So they're spreading out. They're trying to reach more people across Canada, but that's their starting point is Alberta, which I found just awesome. You know, the same province that's pausing green energy products even as the biggest boom happens in that industry is then you find other people are doing something like this in the same province. It's just, it's amazing. You know, the sheer environmental chutzpah of these people and reaching out like that.
It's fantastic. Definitely gives, you know, dare I say, a little bit of hope knowing that people like those super accomplished kids that we just heard about in the clips are doing something to help the environment. We are basically out of time here. Just want to thank you so much again for coming on and chatting about this and giving us a little bit of hope.
Great. Well, my pleasure.
That was Michael Fair talking all things tech and audio entertainment as we do on Thursdays.
Wow. Nice topic. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Okay, folks. What's one thing you absolutely shouldn't do if you've been bitten by a snake? Grant Hardy, on the other side of the break, tells us what after this, because we have for you, what in the world?
Stick around and learn something new. Kelly and Ramya return with more in a moment.
Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.